Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the final week of July, this is the Rain Report, the audio ham radio program service of the Internet. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. Do you have a piece of ham gear that needs a new home? You might want to consider donating it to Handy Hams. Avery Finn, K0HLA, is the education coordinator for Handy Hams. According to Avery, the Handy Hams equipment loan program is in dire need of your help.
Well, one of the problems we have is in order to have our loan program function, we have to have equipment that we can loan out, and we get that through donations, which for some reason has fallen down considerably this year. We think some of it might have to do with the high cost of gas. People are not buying new rigs, so when they don't buy new rigs, they don't give us their old ones. We think that maybe some of that might have to do with the competition of selling equipment on eBay, which a lot of the amateurs are doing these days, rather than, again, donating them to us. When we have somebody that requests a rig, we just don't have it to give to them. Handy Hams first started in Rochester, Minnesota, by W0ZSW, and that is whose call we are now using as a memorial to Ned. He would travel around and discover that some of the people that he knew were shut in for one reason or another with a disability, and he determined that, gee, amateur radio would be a good way to be able to reach out, talk to people in the outside world. And so he started Handy Hams, and it eventually grew all over the world. We have nets on, and we have all kinds of things to help people with various types of disabilities get on the air and communicate with each other and other people.
What are your guidelines for giving and getting?
The rigs that we want to have are ones that our clients will be able to use. People with various types of disabilities, if they can operate, some of the older tube type are kind of cumbersome and have to really be modified so they can be usable. Some of the newer rigs can be used with computers and can be operated that way. It makes it much easier for, like, example, a program that a window eyes or jaws so that they can run a lot of the newer rigs. The older rigs, the tube rigs, they have to be loaded up, and you have to make this adjustment and that adjustment and all that, and they get pretty hard for some of our people to use, especially the newer hams that aren't aware of some of the things that can happen if you don't load up a rig properly.
For those you loan your equipment out to, what guidelines do they need to follow?
Normally when we loan the equipment out, it's to one of our members, somebody that's been with us for about a year, somebody that has either gone to one of our radio camps or has upgraded or gotten their first license with us, somebody that is going to be with the system for a while, a member of Handy Hams in the past. In the early times, we've had people that have joined just to get equipment, and then we never saw them or the equipment again, and sometimes the equipment was sold. So we do have a loan agreement that we ask people to sign. Basically, it says that they will keep the equipment, that they will not sell it, they will not give it away, and when they're done using it, that they will return it to us so we can give it to somebody else, and that the equipment is used within the rules and regulations set by the Federal Communications Commission.
What kind of facility do you have to repair or rejuvenate the equipment that you do get from a donation or that a user returns to you after using it for years?
That depends on a couple of things. The newer equipment, the surface mount technology, we don't have facilities to fix, so we would have to send that out for service. We do have some volunteers that are retired technicians or engineers in some cases who come in. We do have a service center. Some of the pictures and some of our e-letters and things will show parts of that, where we have a test bench with a scope and a signal generator and frequency counter and things like that to do some of the repairs on some of the older units. Basically, if it's something that's quite a problem, we don't go into it too much. We only take the equipment that's readily easy to fix, something that's quite apparent. Some of the problems where you get something unusual, like a crack in a circuit board or something that's sometimes very difficult to find, something like that, we probably wouldn't put a lot of time into. Most of the work is done by volunteers that come in a couple times a week usually, and they use the equipment that we have here. They volunteer their time and their expertise into getting that gear up and running. All the new gear that's donated, well, we call it new, but it's used to whoever is donating it to us, is checked out before it goes out to somebody to be sure that it is functional before it leaves. If it's got a tone for like 2 meters, that the tones are working, that it'll read out frequency and all this other stuff that it needs to do, the rig needs, in order for it to be functional for the person to use. In a lot of cases, when it's a new ham, they won't have a power supply for the unit, so we supply the power supply if we have one also. And like on most of the people coming in that get their license would be technician class, so we make antennas, J-pole antennas available for them as well to use, so they can get the rig up and running right away. Some of the units are HTs, some of them are base units, and most of the time the rigs that go out are for new people coming in that wouldn't otherwise have a way of getting on the air. Although we do get on occasion HF rigs, we get people that are generals. They go for their general class license on the air as well.
You're listening to an interview with Avery Finn, K0HLA, Education Coordinator for Handy Hams, and one of those involved in the Handy Hams Equipment Loan Program. We'll be right back. This is The Rain Report, available as an MP3 download or podcast from therainreport.com.
You are listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
We don't deal too much with amplifiers and things like that. Most of the people that we are involved with haven't been on the air long enough to really be able to handle the things that you need to know for working with an amplifier. They don't have the experience on the air yet, so we kind of shy away from that kind of thing. Basically, our function is to get them on the air and get them to the point where they feel comfortable with operational skills so that they will know the correct protocols on the different bands, working emergencies and things like this. Normally when somebody has a request, I have a database. I put their name in, put the date in, what it is they're requesting. We wait until the item comes in, and then at that time I go down the list in order of the dates that people requested it, and then ask the person if they still are in want of the rig, and if they are, then we send it out to them, and if not, then we go to the next person on the list. Sometimes there's quite a long wait, and sometimes in the meantime people have gone to a ham fest or had a friend or somebody get them a rig, so they don't need it any longer. We don't have a time that you need to keep the rig out or return it. We just had somebody return a Century 21 that they have had out since 1988. You get to use the rig as long as you are willing to use it.
We're talking about folks with physical disabilities, correct?
The disability can be like a learning problem, or they can have dyslexia or something like that as well. All kinds of disabilities, depending upon, you know, if they can get the license or not. First requirement, of course.
And one final plug, you have a week-long radio camp coming up in August in Minnesota for those folks with physical disabilities can attend and earn their ham license.
It's August 23rd to August 30th. We still have some room there. It's in northern Minnesota. It's out in the woods, Lake George, 15 miles from Itasca State Park, where the Mississippi starts. 1 week of camp, you eat, drink, and sleep amateur radio. You do things like transmitter hunting. They have a mock-up field day site there. They have a pontoon boat that is wheelchair accessible that has a Kenwood TS-50 on it. So you can almost operate 20-meter DX stations and fish for muskies and walleyes at the same time. The charge is depending upon the person's ability to pay, and plus the airfare or the transportation charges.
If I wanted to send a piece of equipment to Handy Hams, where would I send it and to whom?
Well, you would send it to Handy Hams, 3915 Golden Valley Road, Golden Valley, Minnesota, 55422. 3915 Golden Valley Road, Golden Valley, Minnesota, 55422. Please put Handy Hams on it. The Courage Center is a fairly large building, and we want to be sure that it would get to our department here.
Now, you're a 501c3 not-for-profit, tax-deductible.
Correct.
And what's your web address?
www.handyham.org.
If someone wants to reach you via email, Avery, what is your email address?
Okay, my email address would be avery.finn@courage.org. I spell Avery Alpha Victor Echo Romeo Yankee. Spell Finn Foxtrot India November November. Avery.finn@courage.org. My direct line is 763-520-0515. 763-520-0515. And I'm usually here in the morning from about 8 until 2, Minneapolis time, Monday through Friday.
Avery Finn, K0HLA, Handy Ham's Education Coordinator, and one of those involved in the Handy Ham's Equipment Loan Program. Avery was interviewed by RAIN's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2006 RAIN, all rights reserved. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ.